Ian O'Connor's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's a great writer. He's had four straight New York Times bestsellers. And his new book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, is out. And it's all about Aaron Rodgers, obviously, who happens to be, as I said at the beginning of the show, a fascinating person.
Yeah.
But then when I said that, Crowder and Solana and I, we started to discuss, well, is Aaron Rodgers really a fascinating person, or am I using an improper descriptor there? Like, maybe he's got some weird ideas here and there. Maybe he's a, I mean, not maybe, he is one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played in the league. But I don't, is he fascinating? So let's ask Ian. Welcome to the show, Ian. Thank you for making time for us, by the way.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I guess the mystery of Aaron Rodgers is, why did Nick Saban not take him with the second pick in 2005 for the Miami Dolphins? And that is actually a question I would have loved to have asked Nick. I didn't get a chance to do that. But how that would have changed the AFC East with Brady and Belichick against Rodgers and Saban, and that would have been a lot of fun for a number of years. Didn't happen, of course, but... Yeah, but I think he's a fascinating character, or else I wouldn't have taken on this project. And I was actually down to write a book on LeBron James, and another book on LeBron was coming out, and Aaron got traded into my backyard here in the New York, New Jersey area. So I thought it was a fascinating marriage between an all-time great, really could use another ring for his legacy, and a Charlie Brown-esque franchise in New York City. So that's why I did take it on.
And Ian, I'll let you know, the answer to your first question was Ronnie Brown, who is my kid's uncle, and they call him Uncle Ronnie. So,
and we love Ronnie on the show, by the way. I take Aaron Rodgers every day, all day, over Ronnie Brown, and I think Ronnie Brown would do the same.
Yes, yes. Does Aaron still, like, does he care about that? Does he still, that, it can't be a chip on your shoulder now, because we all remember Aaron sitting in that green room.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think he holds a grudge against Miami. It's really more Tampa Bay, because John Gruden called him 2 days before the draft and said, we're taking you if you're there at number five, Tampa Bay. And Rodgers took that to the bank. Now, his agent at the time, Mike Sullivan, knew that might not be a great idea. So what Mike Sullivan did was he called Bruce Allen, then the GM of the Bucks, and he said, hey, Bruce, by tomorrow night, Friday night at midnight, I need you to call me and tell me whether or not you're taking my client. Because I know now that the 49ers are not taking him at number one. And sure enough, before the Saturday draft in Manhattan, New York City, Bruce Allen called Mike Sullivan at midnight on Friday and said, we are not taking your client at number five tomorrow. So that's why Aaron fell to 24. And that was the first NFL draft reality show, the humiliation of Aaron Rodgers. Now, that humiliation as a whole has created a giant, not chip on his shoulder, but a boulder that he's carried through his entire career. And I think that was the driving force behind him becoming a first ballot Hall of Famer.
What about for this season, for us Dolphins fans in particular, because we'll face him twice as long as he's healthy. What kind of quarterback do you think Aaron Rodgers will be for the Jets in 2024?
I think he's going to be a good quarterback, Hawk. I think he's not an MVP level quarterback anymore. Obviously he won that award four times, but I think at age 40, he's turning 41 in December. You can't ask him to carry the team for 17 games. That's just not doable. But I do think he can play at a high level, maybe be a top 10 quarterback in the league. To me, the Jets, it's going to be interesting. The Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills in that division, it's to me, the only thing that seems certain is the Patriots will be the last place team at the end of the year in the AFC East. But I think that he'll play at a high level, maybe go 11-6. And he's just got to stay healthy. Obviously, that offensive line has improved. That line has to stay healthy. And given the weapons he has and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall next to him in the backfield, I think 11-6 is feasible. And I think if he misses a few starts, like I suspect he will in the middle of the season, Tyrod Taylor is a good backup, could win two of those three games. So I think the Jets are in a fairly good position.
And Ian, you've been covering this league a long time. With the Jets, that's because everybody talks about the AFC East. They talk about the Bills, Josh Allen, you know, losing Stephon Diggs. They lost a bunch of defenders as well. The Jets are the people who scare me. So you even brought up Breece Hall and Quentin Williams, who I think are – I mean, Garrett Wilson, who are two of the best young offensive players in the league. But Quentin Williams, Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley, Sauce Gardner, like the Jets might have the best roster in the AFC East.
They might. They might. And listen, I'll certainly, you got to respect the Dolphins are in good shape at the two most important positions on the roster, really, head coach and quarterback. And I think the Jets defense could get better with Reddick if they ever get him in camp. I don't know if that's going to happen, but Reddick is more of a game breaker or just a guy who can wreck a game, really. And they're a good defense, a very good defense. I don't know if they're a great defense. Hassan Reddick might make them great. So that would really behoove them to get that thing done and get him into camp. So, but I think the AFC East is going to be fascinating because I think those three teams outside of the Patriots, everybody's going to want to go 2-0 against New England and probably needs to win that division. But it's going to be a dogfight. And, yeah, I think if Rodgers stays healthy, the Jets have as good a chance as anyone to win that division. I think you could say the same thing about the Dolphins and really the Bills, who should be down a little bit but not too much. So it's going to be a fun season to watch. I think Jets fans are having a hard time really embracing the idea that their team can win the division because they haven't done it since, 2002? And also after the disaster of last season, four snaps in, they're just it's a fatalistic fan base to begin with. But what they experienced last September, they're just having a hard time buying in this year.